Appreciate all of you being here this morning. I'm glad that you made it your choice to come to the house of God. Each one of you, myself included, at some point in time before these services this morning, we determined and made a choice to be here. I want to speak to you about something this morning, and if I had a title for the message that God has given to me, and I've been meditating upon this for quite some time, would be Will and Choice. I want you to think about those two words, will and choice. And I want to begin this morning by defining those words, and I have some scriptures that I want us to look at today. There's four scripture texts that I want us to look at, but I want to begin by defining some of these terms. And I really want us to think this morning about will and choice. When you leave here today, if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember those two words. Because those two words have had a great impact upon your life and upon mine. We live in a world that is filled with choices. We have more options in this world today. You go to buy a new car and it'll boggle your mind sometimes just by the options that are available, and you have to make a choice. So you have to determine what options you want. Now, the definition of the word will is kind of lengthy, but I want to read it to you because I think it's important that we get the picture. The word will in its noun form is that faculty of the mind by which we determine either to do or forbear an action. The faculty which is exercised in deciding among two or more objects which we shall embrace or pursue. The will is directed or influenced by the judgment, or by judgment. The understanding or reason compares different objects which operate as motives. The judgment determines which is preferable, and the will decides which to pursue. In other words, we reason with respect to the value or importance of things. We then judge which is to be preferred, and we will to take the most valuable. These are but different operations of the mind, soul, or intellectual part of man. Choice is the act or instance of choosing. Very simple. Choose means to pick out or to select. You ladies go shopping for new clothes, you look at all those pretty clothes on the rack, and you choose which one you prefer that you think will look best on you. I know this all sounds very elementary, but the Lord has a purpose here. To take by way of preference from two or more things offered, to make choice of. Now, what do we conclude from these definitions and things that we're looking at? We make our choices based upon our will, our determination, which is influenced by our judgment, which should be based upon fact or reality or the information that we have before us. Our choices have consequences. Every choice we make has a result. There's an action for every, or a reaction for every action. I think that's a scientific terminology. But every choice that we make is going to determine or cause something either to happen or not to happen. There's going to be a result, an event, and the consequence is defined this way: an event or effect produced by some preceding act or cause. Now, I don't know whether you realize it or not this morning, but the choices that we make and the things that we do are having a great impact upon the world around us. Now, I want us to look at these four scripture texts this morning, and I want to set some things before you, and I want this to be a message, or the Lord does. If you're saved, I think this message is for you, and if you're lost, I think this message is for you. In Genesis 3 and verse 15, this is our, or rather, I'm sorry, verse 6, I said 15, that's the next one, so don't get ahead. Turn to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now this is taken from the account of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and I don't intend to dwell on this, but I want you to get the picture of what took place in the Garden of Eden. God had created Adam and Eve, and we all know the story of creation. He had placed them there in the garden, and He had told them, He said, of every tree thou mayest freely eat. He actually gave that commandment directly to Adam. But He created that garden for them. It was a paradise upon this earth, and He said, everything in this garden is for your benefit. Everything here is yours. Everything belongs to you. Adam even named every one of the animals on the face of this earth. God entrusted him with the care of that garden, with the animals. He gave him a wife to be his helper. He gave them that one commandment and said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Now I think you'll agree with me today that Adam and Eve were created beings that had the capability of having a will. They had the ability to determine what was preferable. They had the ability to make judgment based upon the information that they had, and they had the opportunity and the right to make a choice. The verse that we read from tells us how that the woman, after speaking with the devil disguised himself as a beautiful serpent, and he approached her, and he put doubt in her mind concerning the commandment of God, and he said, hey, let me just read to you what the devil told her. He said, the serpent was more subtle in verse 1 than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And she went on to tell him what the Lord had said. They could eat of every tree, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. They weren't even supposed to touch it, lest you die. And Satan said unto her, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And then we read our scripture text that said, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, how did she know that? She touched it, didn't she? and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. The devil had told her, if you eat of this, you're going to be as gods. And in your Bible, that's spelled with a little g. Knowing good and evil. Now, this was the information that Eve had. The commandment of God, you eat of this tree, you will die. I want you to notice what God told her. He said, you will die. Now, God cannot lie. And we're going to get into some of this, and this just a little bit about the will of God. Do you know God has a will? He said, you will die. The devil comes along and he mixes a little bit of truth with error. You're asking, what do I mean? He said, you shall not surely die. Does anybody know how old Adam lived to be physically? About 960 years. The devil knew that he wasn't going to die physically on that day, but that he would die spiritually, and he would become separated from God and have no relationship with God. But he told Eve, you shall not surely die. You eat of this tree, you're going to be as gods. You're going to know good, and you're going to know evil. She already knew good. She already knew righteousness because she was righteous at that time. When she ate of that fruit and when Adam partook of that fruit, they came to know evil. Even though what the devil told them was mixed with truth, it was not good for them. It was not what God preferred for them. But what I'm telling you is this morning that Adam and Eve willed. Them eating of that tree was no accident. They were not forced. The devil didn't hold them down and force feed it to them. They chose to eat it. More importantly, they chose to disobey God. They made it their will. They determined to do it. They obviously weighed the information that they had, although I don't think they paid very good attention to what the Lord said. But nevertheless, they made a bad choice. Would you agree? You say, why would you say they made a bad choice? It only affected them. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible said, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We get our nature from our parents, Adam and Eve. Our sinful nature, we inherit that from them. Do you see the consequence of Adam and Eve's actions, the choice that they make, what their will and their determination to do, what it caused, what the effect was that the entire human family became sinful. They made a choice. The Bible even tells us that when they ate of that tree, that the whole earth was cursed. If you read on down in the book of Genesis in chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, unto Adam he said, speaking of God, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Every time you get stuck by a rose bush or a thorn or a thistle, you can think about the choice that Adam and Eve made in the Garden of Eden and its effect upon your life. So we see the judgment of Adam and Eve was skewed by Satan and the influence of evil, causing them to make a bad choice. Let's notice another scripture text. Turn to Genesis 3 and 15. Same chapter, 15th verse. I want you to notice this. Listen, this is going somewhere. On that same occasion when God saw the events that had taken place, and we all know that God foreknew this and saw this in eternity. But I want you to notice the will of God and the choice that God made concerning mankind. Brother Kevin's song said, "I want to thank Jesus. I want to thank God," were the testimonies that were given this morning. To thank God for salvation and for the saving grace of God, for Jesus going to the cross of Calvary. There in the Garden of Eden, God spoke to them. He was talking to Adam, He was talking to Eve, and He was talking to the devil himself. And He said, "I will." I wanted to make this the title of the message. God said, "And I will." God determined. God judged the situation. God judged what the need was. And He said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman," speaking to the devil, "and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." He was prophesying to them about Jesus Christ. He was prophesying to them about the atonement that would be made. He was telling them, "I will put hostility." That's what the word enmity means. It means hostility. There's coming an opponent. There's going to be opposition to the devil. "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." God made it His choice on that occasion when He knew the cause and effect of what had taken place in the garden. He knew, He judged, He determined that mankind would need a Redeemer, a way back to God. If you look down in that chapter, you'll find that Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. God had compassion on them. You think, well, He cast them out. He cast them out away from Him. Read the verse. God had compassion on Adam and Eve. He said, "Cast them out from the garden, lest they take of the tree of life and live forever in the condition that they were in." He cast them out of the garden. He cast them out. He created a plan of redemption. He made it His choice. He determined to send a Redeemer into the world. His will is not that any should perish. Peter declared that in his writing. He said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God made a choice. He determined that He would create and provide a plan of redemption, a way of salvation, in light of the things that had happened. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. I want you to look at another choice, another will that was made. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, the writer said this concerning Jesus Christ: "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Now, what does that verse have to do with what we're talking about? will and choice. Adam and Eve determined to disobey God, and their action had a consequence, which was sin upon the entire human family. They were separated from God. Their relationship with God was severed. They no longer could walk with Him and talk with Him in the garden. The entire earth was cursed because of it. Every living, breathing thing was cursed because of their sin. God made a choice. He determined. He judged to send a Redeemer into this world. That Redeemer was Jesus Christ. And in this verse of Scripture, we read that Jesus offered Himself. Say, what are you talking about? I'm saying today that Jesus Christ made a conscious will and a determination, and He judged the thing that needed to be done, which was to offer Himself a sacrifice for mankind. And He determined, He willed to do it, and He chose to do it. I want you to think about all these choices. Jesus said in John 10 and 18, speaking of His life, He said, "No man taketh it from Me." I know you've heard these over and over again. I want you to think about it. Jesus consciously willed, He determined, after that He had judged, Jesus knew exactly what He was going to face when He came to this world. He knew what the agony was going to be. He knew what the suffering was going to be. He knew what the penalty was. He knew that He would have to suffer separation from His Father. He knew that. He knew that He would have to take upon Himself this body of flesh. He knew that He would have to suffer every trial, every temptation, every feeling, every suffering that we go through, and even the suffering of knowing what it is like to be lost and away from God. He knew before He ever left His place in heaven as the second person of the Godhead and assumed this body of flesh. He knew every bit of that. And He willed to come, and He chose to come and to be the Redeemer of man and to suffer all of that and to give His life on Calvary and shed His blood that the song spoke about and that we talked about earlier this morning, and to give that in the as the atonement and the appeasement for our sin before God. He said, "No man takes it from Me, but I lay it down of Myself." Jesus had a will, and He made a choice. Aren't you glad He did? He said, "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I received of My Father." Now, Jesus made that choice. By Him making that choice, Sister Harrison could stand this morning and thank God for saving her soul. She could stand and thank God that there is a better place for us to go when we leave the walks of this life. She could stand and thank God that her relatives, her friends, and those that she's known in times past that were saved by the grace of God, that they're resting and basking in the glory and the presence of God Almighty today. I'd say Jesus made a good choice. Even though there were suffering involved. Think about this now. It's going to get close to home in a minute. Even though there's suffering involved, even though there were trials involved, Jesus weighed the situation, and it was best for us, if he came and suffered and bled and died. Otherwise, we would have no Savior. We would have no Redeemer. There would be no plan of salvation, and all of mankind would go off into hell. So you see, Jesus' choice that he made, in a sense, stay with me, the Bible says that Jesus made this choice because of the glory that was set before him. He also knew the end. But it would appear to our carnal mind that the choice that Jesus made, what does the Bible say about a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? What did Jesus say about a man that would give his life for his friend? It wouldn't seem to have been the best choice for Jesus, although it was, but it wouldn't have seemed that way, but it was best for us. He loved us. Why did he make that choice? Most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He loved us. He cared for us. He wanted us to have that relationship with God. And God had willed it back there in the Garden of Eden that there had to be a substitutionary death. And Jesus said, I'll go do it. He willed it and he chose it. Now, this is what God has done for each one of us. This is the will of God and the choice that God and Jesus have made concerning mankind because of the choice that our parents made in the Garden of Eden. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses was speaking to the children of Israel, and he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Many times in the history of Israel and the Israelite nation, God gave them the opportunity to choose. This was one of those occasions. And I just want you to get the picture of this verse of Scripture and what Moses was saying or declaring from God to Israel. He said, I have set heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. We just talked about the death that occurred in the Garden of Eden. The choice that our parents made. We talked about the choice that God made and the choice of Jesus Christ. I would say in the same fashion that this morning we have had life and death set before us. That we have declared the life that is in Jesus Christ because there was a need for the death that had occurred in the Garden of Eden. But he said, I have set this before you, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. In other words, this is the best choice. Life is the best choice. That both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. Why? For he is thy life and the length of thy days. This was the information that God gave to Israel on this occasion when he asked them to choose. To choose life. You see, God's will is that we choose Him. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to come to Him in repentance. He wants us to have a relationship with God. It is His will. He wants it. And He continually, over and over and over again, sets before us this life and death and the blessing and the cursing. Lost people, you have the opportunity. And I'm not talking about the choice that you hear in the modern churches or the liberal churches today where they invite you to come down and decide to be a Christian. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you will have to make a conscious choice to seek after God and to seek Him out that you can believe on Him and be saved. You can't do it without it. God's not going to force Himself on anyone. He's not going to just snatch you up and save you because that's what He wants. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. You can choose to sit there and go on in your sin and die and go to hell, or you can choose life. You can choose to come to the God who created you, who created the plan of redemption, who sent Jesus Christ. You can come to Jesus, the very one who chose to come and die in your place, and you can choose to seek Him and repent of your sin, or you can choose not to. You have that right. You have that choice. But you should consider the options. You only have two. One is to come and seek after God and to be saved and seek Him out. Repent. When Joshua spoke to the children of Israel in the book of Joshua, and he went over there and he talked to them about how that they needed to return to God. In chapter 24, he said, unto them, he said, and the people said unto Joshua, "We will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses. Now therefore put away the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." They still had to make a choice. They had the will. That was what they expressed in the previous verse. They said, "We will serve the Lord. We determined to serve the Lord." What Joshua told them was to go ahead and choose. And if you choose the Lord, you're going to have to put away all this other stuff. What's your will? I had this at the beginning of in my the notes that I had made, the study notes that I had made. What is our will? And what choice will we make? What's your will for your life? Whether you're saved or lost, what's your will for your life? We know what God's will is. We've seen that. God wants you to be saved if you're lost. If you're saved, He wants you to put away the strange gods, separate yourself from the world, and serve Him. That's His will. That's His desire. That's what He desires for each one of us. What is our will? I said in the beginning of this message, and I'll try to close. I know it's getting a little later. Each one of you this morning, you willed, you determined that you wanted to be at church today. You considered all the options. I'm assuming maybe we didn't. Some of us, there's no choice. We just get up and come. Sometimes we don't. But you weighed the options. You had a lot of options. I saw a man sitting on the lake down here on the way to church this morning casting a line. He was fishing. I saw other people going other places, motor homes, camper trailers. It's a holiday weekend. Everybody's got plans, got things to do. But you determined, you judged what your choices were, and you chose to come to God's house. If you didn't, you wouldn't be here. unless you're a child and you got dragged here by your parents. And that's entirely possible. But you're a child, you don't have a choice. So what is your will? Seriously. What is your will for your life? What do you want out of your life? When I was young, we used to keep hearing that phrase over and over again. What are you going to do with your life? That was having reference to, you need to go to college, you need to get a good job, you need to be able to provide for your family. I'm asking you, what do you want to do with your life? What's your will for your life? Your life, your individual life. What is your will? Is it in line with God's will? Have you judged? Have you weighed the consequences or the opportunities that you have to serve God if you're saved? Have you weighed that? Have you looked at that? I want us to look hurriedly at some scripture in Joshua chapter 7. Achan was a man who was an Israelite. And everybody that's been in Sunday school very long, they've heard the story of the Battle of Jericho and how the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And when God sent the Israelites over there to defeat them, how that God was with them, how he blessed them, and they were able to take the battle at Jericho. But there was a commandment made to the Israelite nation before they went to Jericho, and they were not to take of the spoils of war. They weren't to take of it. They weren't to touch it. Achan was a man in Israel who disobeyed God. He was one man. I want you to listen. Get this. He was one man in the Israelite nation who disobeyed God and took of the spoils of war and hid them in his tent. Now, I said in the beginning that our choices have consequences. If you're lost and you choose not to seek after God, the consequence is a burning hell, period. But if we're saved by the grace of God and we are God's child, I'm going to tell you this morning that our consequences are going to be rough if we choose to disobey God. Let me just break away from Achan here for just a minute and turn back to the book of Hebrews. Guys in my Sunday school class probably try to get tired of hearing this. I think this is one of the plainest scriptures in all the Bible. In verse 26, the writer said, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." Somebody says, "What are you saying? You're saying that Jesus didn't die for our sins?" Yes, he did. He died one time, and when you are saved, you become his child, and you come under the jurisdiction of God your Father. And this Bible tells me that he entreats us and chastens us as children. When we're saved eternally. God's not taking away your salvation. He's not going to make you lost again, but he is going to deal with you. Now, I want you to look at the sin of Achan. The children in verse 1 of chapter 7, notice what the Bible says. Remember, Achan was one man. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing." Didn't say Achan. God held the children of Israel accountable for Achan's actions. His sin, his disobedience affected the whole nation. "For Achan, the son of Carmah," and he goes on to give his lineages, "took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Achan took of the spoils of war and it affected the whole nation. They went up on their next battle to the city of Ai, which was a very small city, not very many people, and they sent up the spies to look out after it, and they said, they're just a few. Don't send a lot of people. Don't send a lot of warriors. They went up there, and they had to run because they defeated them so bad. And they lost some people. Joshua came back. He got on his face before God and said, "Why did you send us up here? We just as soon as stayed in bondage." Joshua was confused. Joshua didn't understand why they had lost the battle. Have you ever seen churches and families and people that were wandering around and saying, I just don't understand why the Lord's not blessing us. He's not doing this for us. I don't understand what's going on. And the only problem in Israel was one man and his will. He willed to disobey God. He willed to take of the spoils of war when he knew that he was not supposed to do it. Now let me ask you this morning, how does your will affect your family? How does your will affect your church? How does your will affect your job? How does your will affect how your day goes? I've seen a lot of times when my will made me have a bad day. My will made me have a bad day. My judgment was like Adam's. It was skewed. It was not what it should have been. I wasn't discerning properly all the information that I had before me, and I made a bad choice, and I had a bad day. And I've seen that bad day trickle over into my family's day, into my wife's day, my children's day, the people that I work with, and it's probably affected my church on some level. And you've had the same experience, if you'll tell the truth. So what's your will? What choice will we make? Achan's sin affected all of Israel. Joshua had to go through the process of bringing all the families of Israel in to be judged. They finally determined that Achan was the one. He confessed his sin, and Joshua said to him before they stoned him to death, he said, "Why have you troubled us? Why have you troubled us? Why did you make this choice?" Don't make your wife or your children or your church or your grandchildren ever have to ask you, "Why on earth did you do that?" For those of you that are lost, don't die in your sins, because there's no recovery from that one. If you're saved today, you can recover from mistakes that you make, things that you do, bad choices. You may have to live with the consequences. Did you know there are some choices that we can make in life, some things that we can will to do, and they'll never leave you? I don't care how long you've been saved. There's some things. I could give you proof if we had another hour. David sinned against God. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had her husband killed in the battle in order to try to cover that up. And Nathan came to him and told him a story about a man that had one little ewe lamb and how that somebody else came and took it. David said, "He is worthy of death." And Nathan said, "You're the man. You're the one." And God told David, he said, "Because thou hast done this and disobeyed my voice," he said, "the sword shall not leave thy house. And the child that is born unto thee will surely die." That child died, and the sword never left David's house. He could never get away from that sin. No matter how hard he prayed. He did pray. 51st Psalm. Go read it. He confessed his sin before God. He said, I've sinned against you. And he asked for forgiveness. I believe he was forgiven, but he lived with the consequences. Will and choice. What's your will? What have you determined? What are you determined to do? And what choice will you make? A lot of choices in this world. A lot of choices to be made in the work of God. A lot of choices to be made in how we relate one to another, how we entreat one another, how we treat the lost people that are around us. A lot of choices to be made. How we live our life has a great impact on those that are lost. We make one bad choice, and we can scar the life of a lost person. A bad choice that you can never get away from. You can never go back to that person and say, yeah, I made a bad choice, but I want you to be saved. And they won't even listen to you. One bad choice. Just one. We've all made a lot of bad choices. We're human. We're going to do that. We're going to make bad choices. The thing is to learn from the choices that we make. When we do make mistakes, to learn from them. Don't repeat them. What's your will and what choice will you make? Brother Gary, if you have a song, let's stand and sing a song. I want to give opportunity for those, if anybody's here that's lost, wants to come and seek the Lord, I want to give you that opportunity. But I want you to think about those two words. Will and choice. How we determine the judgment that we make based on the options and the information that we have. What do we do with that? May God bless you.